Welcome to Back to the Bible. Join us for the next 30 minutes as we present music and the spoken word that will provide inspiration and instruction from the Word of God. Theodore Epp is the Bible teacher, and our music is under the direction of Norman Holt.
I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory.
Aren't you rejoicing in the might and power of the God that we have? How wonderful! Well, would you like to know more about Him? You can study your Bible with us. To help you along this line, we have what we call our correspondence school. I'd like to especially mention one course that can be most helpful. This can be especially helpful for Bible classes, vacation Bible school instruction, or pastors teaching the class. It's entitled Major Bible Doctrines. 14 lessons, clearly written, essential doctrines of our Christian faith. I'll not mention the various titles you would possibly know, because it is Bible Doctrines. Now, we also have a Major Bible Teaching Doctrine Manual, which can be helpful to the one that does the teaching. It helps in planning and preparing to teach the course, including practical illustrations, applications, and points of emphasis, and so on. Why not write for more information by simply asking for our catalog on the Correspondence Bible School? We have a total of over 40 Bible courses. Our address is simply Back to the Bible Broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501.
Shut sitting at the feet of Jesus. Oh, what words I hear him say. Happy place, so near, so precious. May it find me there each day.
Singing again. My heart has just been blessed. I always say anybody can preach after that, and so I trust you'll open your Bible now as we study the Word together, and let's thank Him first. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege singing these great hymns and songs. Then, the Lord, thank you for the Word. Thank you for this teaching, for being simple and yet plain with us, not mincing with words, speaking plain. And so, God, grant again today to search the hearts of our dear listeners. We pray in Jesus' name, His glory. Amen. For quite several weeks now, we've been discussing with you Israel at Kadesh Barnea. Moses' part in it, of course. And now, just as sort of a little climax of that and bringing in all of the loose ends, and then I want to introduce to you our next teaching on Moses, possibly one of the greatest disappointments in his life, where even this great man Moses fell into a sin which kept him out of the land of Canaan, which he so wanted to lead the children of Israel into. But first of all, these climaxing notes on Kadesh Barnea. Israel's experience is for our warning. In 1 Corinthians the 10th chapter, verses 6 and 11, he makes these statements. Now these things, speaking of Israel at Kadesh Barnea, and the decisions that they made, the decisions which were based on unbelief, rejecting the Lord and not going in when they should have and could have. It says, now these things were for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Verse 11. And all these things happened unto them for in samples. That literally means for types. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world is come. That is, we're living in the last days. So every individual stands one day at his Kadesh Barnea. That word has become a household word into my heart, and I hope to yours, our Kadesh Barnea. That is, at the place of special decision, at the fork of the road, of the way, that can hold eternal potential for our well-being or for our woe. You stand there, and you've stood there, and you possibly will still stand there at times. Great decisions. First, take the unsaved by way of illustration. You're standing at the door of decision. It's either a door to heaven or a door to hell. Face the fact, there's no neutral ground. It's leading one way or the other. You have to make the decision. Have you made it? This is important. Make it right. Those of you that have made that decision, and you are believers today, you too stand at further doors of decision, at further Kadesh Barnea, a door of faith unto the victorious and the useful and the mature Christian life. Or on the other hand, it can be a door that leads to despair, to disapproval, to uselessness, which ends up in fear, worry, frustration, laid on the shelf, useless to God. Which is your state today? Are you living in victory, usefulness? Or are you living in fear and worry and frustration? You do not have to. There's a place of decision, a very important decision. Someone has said this: decisions, after all, are the hinges upon which the doors of destiny turn. Want me to repeat that? Decisions, after all, are the hinges upon which the doors of destiny turn. Now, this is true of individuals. It is true of churches. You have to make a decision as an individual. Churches at times have to make decisions. We can become stagnant in ourselves, or a church can become stagnant. We can become stalemating, neither doing anything bad nor doing necessarily anything good. We can be at that type of a place. Well, keep in mind that God has in the past set aside on occasions one whole generation while another one had to grow up. Israel is an illustration right here. The people of Israel had to go back out in the desert 38 more years until that generation that made the decision not to go in had died out in the wilderness and a new generation came on the scene. This has happened at other times when you study the history of the Bible. It's happened in the case of possibly a church. One whole generation at times has been set, had to be, the church had to wait until that generation was set aside before that church could really go forward with God. The Bible says, where there is no vision, my people perish. So, we have to go back to Hebrews 6, verse 1, where we have already discussed this matter and faced this issue, but there he says, let us go on to maturity. The word there, the use there is perfection, meaning maturity. Let's go on to maturity. Now, no, we don't go back to Egypt to start all over again and be born all over again. You can't do that. God never let them go back. This cannot be done. For there's no other foundation that can be laid except that which has been laid. That foundation has been laid. But according to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 and 12, let's build upon this foundation. Let's get a structure upon it. Let's do something about it. The foundation's laid. You don't go back to Egypt. But let's do some building. Let's go on to perfection. One is useless to God in the wilderness. That is the wilderness of self, the wilderness of warning, wandering around. Great church programs are no substitute for true spiritual warfare. That just doesn't substitute, my dear pastor friend. Is your church going on to maturity? Or is it stalemated? It may not be your fault, of course. But are you teaching the full word of God? Or is your church all divided over pitiful things? May God be merciful and gracious to you and give you much strength in these days and hours. Let's just review a few things here and close off this particular chapter, and then I want to lead you into something else that concerning the man Moses again. The believers have marched from Canaan, from Egypt to Canaan. That is, many a believer today, and I like to think of us as having marched from Calvary to our experience at our Kadesh Barnea. Think it through for just a moment. First, there is redemption. Redeemed from sin and from damnation. Great salvation that God has provided. But remember, when he talks about the great salvation, he is not only talking about a salvation from condemnation, which is great, but he's also talking about the great salvation from the bondage and the slavery of sin. Remember Israel. While they were saved, while they were in Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, nevertheless, they were saved out of Egypt from slavery and from bondage. That is a part of the great salvation, and God has provided such a great salvation for us. In Hebrews 2, verse 1, he says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. For how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He's talking here about the salvation that leads unto maturity. Sin has been atoned for. Great. Wonderful. But more than that, Satan's power has been crushed. Hebrews 2, verse 14. And this we can apply to our lives. Colossians 2, 15. The power of for life and for godliness has been provided. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Where he says he hath by his power provided all that is essential for life, that is for eternal life, and for godliness, for the living. And he's given unto us his nature. Isn't it wonderful? This has all been provided. This is the great salvation. John 1:12, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Can you think of, imagine anything greater than that? Philippians 2:12 and 13, therefore work out the salvation with fear and trembling, for he worketh in you both to will and to do. All this is provided, this great salvation. There is nothing lacking that he has not provided for us. Colossians 2 verses 9 and 10 says, we are complete in him. We are sufficient in him. Ephesians 2 verses 5 and 6 says, we have been made to sit together with him in heavenly places. That doesn't mean we've gone to heaven and twiddle our thumbs. That means we have been put in a position as he is, as victor over all of the enemies. We have been raised to that high position. This is tremendous. This is wonderful. He has given us all of the necessary weapons for spiritual warfare, as we read in 2 Corinthians the 10th chapter, verse 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything, high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and even the bringing into captivity the very thoughts to the obedience of Christ. God has given us everything we need for total victory. Now comes the choosing. We have to choose. We have to do something about it. That's what he says in Hebrews, the 6th chapter. When he says, now let's go on to maturity, verse 1. In verse 3, he says, this we will do if God permit. Why does he bring that in, God permit? Why the hesitancy? Ah, that's where we've been standing now. That's what we've been talking about at Kadesh Barnea. They had tasted, they had seen, they had witnessed the great power, magnificent powers of God in all these 2 years that they've been coming from Egypt unto Kadesh Barnea. They had seen it, they had witnessed it. And now they deliberately, against better knowledge, turn God down. So we have come to that place Remember, therefore, Israel's case. 2 years of training. Deliberate unbelief against better knowledge. We saw what the spies did. They had the fruit of the land in their very hands. They had experienced God's past grace. All of this was there. But they said, no, we can't do it. In other words, we're just not going to do it. They looked at themselves. They looked at the giants. They did not look at God. That's what Paul means in 1 Corinthians 9:27 when he says that I might not be a castaway. That means disapproved, laid upon the shelf. They had committed the sin unto death, physical death, laid aside. They were sent back out into the desert until their carcasses died away. Now I hope we have learned some great lessons from this particular aspect. Now I want to introduce to you the next chapter of our thinking. The next phrase, we're going to pass over the 38 years. There are numerous incidents mentioned there, but we're going to pass them over. We have mentioned one or two, but generally speaking, we're going to pass them over and go to the 20th chapter now of the book of Numbers. And then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Sin in the first month, and the people abode at Kadesh. Miriam died there. There was no water there, he said, for the congregation. So they began to murmur against Moses and against Aaron. The same old thing, but it's a new generation. Despite Moses' faithfulness and selflessness, we're going to see that his life closed in a minor key. That is, he too was excluded from the promised land. What I want to discuss with you in our next few lessons is Moses' sins under excruciating stress. Yes, but even though he was disappointed, greatly disappointed in not being able to enter, one thing we've got to say about this great man of God, he died a victorious believer in God. In spite of it. At the first glance, when we see what happened here, when they were not able to, they didn't have water, they murmured against Moses and they murmured against Aaron, and they said, why did God bring us out and why will he let us die and so on? Moses and Aaron go to God about it, and God says unto them, I'm just giving you the resume, and I want you to read as a, this is your homework assignment, if you please, the 20th chapter of the book of Numbers. And he says, I want you to take the rod of God and get this now. The rod of God that gather thou the assembly of the people together, and thou, you and Aaron, that your brother, and I want you to speak to the rock. Please note that. I want you to speak to the rock before the eyes of the people, and it shall give forth water. And here is where Moses sinned. He became angry. In a moment, a weak moment, he lost his temper, and not only did he say unadvisable words, but he struck the rock twice. God in his mercy gave them water, but God in his justice would not let Moses and Aaron go into the land. Now what I want you to see, and this is an assignment, I want you to check and see what kind of a rod he was to have. I want you to check and see what kind of a sin this really was. This is what we're going to discuss with you in the next few lessons. Search it out, my dear friends. God is just and righteous. And so I say again, even this great man Moses, despite his faithfulness, his selflessness, his life closed in a minor key, but in spite of all of that, it was a victorious life. More on this subject then, tomorrow's broadcast.